And welcome to another episode of For the Love of Sports. My name is Michael Raziel, and this is a show where we get to talk about sports, we get to talk about business, and we get to talk about everything in between. Wherever you're listening, however you're listening, you know exactly what to do. Like and subscribe on YouTube, 5-star review on Spotify, 5-star review, and say something really, really nice about me and my incredible guest today. I have Alex Van Allen. He is the founder of Fling Golf. Alex, how you doing today, man?
Hey, Michael. Great to be here.
Pleasure, Alex, is all mine. I have never started a sports league. I will never own a franchise. I will never get the opportunity to be a GM and spend my money all willy-nilly like some of these cool owners and leagues out there. But we're getting into it. You're starting a league. You're starting a sport starting 10 years into this thing. So I'm very curious about the backstory, how it started, where it started, what this sport even is. You sent me a little bit of stuff, but I'll let you kind of get into it. But the first question, Alex, I have for everybody on the For the Love of Sports podcast is, why do you love sports so much?
Yeah, it's a good question. I love sports because I grew up in a very sort of sports athletic oriented family. My dad is a great athlete, sort of natural athlete. And, you know, so he spent a lot of time with us. I have two brothers and, you know, teaching us how to play tennis, how to play baseball, how to play golf, how to play soccer, you know, the whole thing. So grew up doing that, and I love watching sports. We always had a you know, good touch football game on Sundays, and then we go watch the Eagles. I'm from Philly originally, so I think I saw you had a Giants sweatshirt on there one time.
Very much so.
That's going to be interesting. Wait, can we still go on with the podcast though?
Yeah, no, don't worry. I'll say some mean things about Philadelphia later. You're good. Nothing.
Yeah, yeah. All right. No, so that's, you know, and then we'd always, you know, end up watching the game. And on Sundays, and so just always out there playing around. Grew up sort of out in the country, and not too structured. But we always had sports equipment lying around, and you know, got in a little league and played sports at school and stuff. But just really enjoyed it.
Something to do, stay competitive, stay active. It's a pretty easy, you know, not, I don't want to say run of the mill story, but a lot of people have that type of kind of mentality when it comes to sports. It's, why do I love them? I don't know. I've literally been doing it my whole life. And if I guess I didn't like it, I probably would have stopped at some point. So I guess I still love sports, right? Like,
yeah,
it's kind of one of those
imagine.
Things that, right? Like I could not imagine my life without sports. Like, legitimately, do I play a lot? My wife and I hit a tennis ball back and forth over a net occasionally. I wouldn't call it playing tennis. We go out there and we do stuff. It's fun to do, right? We play in beer league softball every ish year, depending on, you know, how bad COVID wants to be, right? In these last couple years. But you know, it's fun to be out there. But for me, like, it comes down to watching it. Like, when there's, you know, we had that month and a half straight of every single day there was a football game. Finally, we got to the day without it, and I was like, wait. What do I do?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, exactly.
I have to watch basketball. Like, I mean, I guess I'll watch it because it's on. I'm like, geez, what do we do? Yeah. So it's just always funny when it comes to that kind of stuff. And hey, maybe I'll have a new sport to watch. Fling Golf. You are the founder, CEO, whatever the heck you want to call it. You are the commissioner.
Yeah.
Commissioner? Can we call you commissioner?
Yeah, well, we haven't quite determined that yet, but yeah. starting
my
league.
Words,
so.
My podcast, my words, yeah. Commissioner yeah. of Fling Golf. Yeah. No, in sincerity. I'm very curious. Like, so I want to know what the sport is. I want to know how you came up with it. I want to know all these things. So I guess we'll just start, like, back to you a little bit. As you said, you played sports growing up. Did you always kind of have that, like, creativity, that, you know, almost entrepreneurship about, like, hey, let's combine basketball and soccer? Like, did you do that stuff as a kid, or is this kind of like a new thing?
Yeah, like I said, we grew up, you know, not very structured, but we had a lot of sports stuff around, and so we just did, you know, crazy stuff. We played, you know, football on the pond with hockey skates and stuff like that.
Love it.
But we did, you know, I played lacrosse in high school a little bit, and grew up playing golf, and so I put those two together, my brothers and I, back on the, you know, on the farm, and we just sort of threw golf balls around with a lacrosse stick, and we were throwing over the pond, hitting trees, you know, counting strokes as we went, and just sort of, you know, playing golf, but with a lacrosse stick and a golf ball. And so that was just always, I guess, in my head. You know, I didn't really think much about it for, you know, quite a while. And then, I was just bored or something, but around 2012 or so, I started putting pieces together to see how far I could throw a golf ball. And that sort of became, I got more and more into it and taking pieces of, you know, golf clubs and, you know, obviously lacrosse stick to start, but then other toys and putting pieces together, a lot of duct tape, a lot of screws. putting it all together and really trying to get to the point where I could throw it, you know, far enough to be out on the golf course. And I figured I had to be able to throw around 200 yards to get out there, which is, you know, maybe not as far as I could hit a golf ball, but legitimately get out on most golf courses and be right up there with golfers. And, you know, I went through probably 3 or 4 or 5 months of prototyping, building stuff. And then I came across, you know, things were going okay, you know, like no, I could throw it like 50 or 60 yards, maybe 70 yards, but no real feel to it. It was just sort of like, you almost might as well throw it.
Launching it, yeah.
And I came across this thing called a Hi-Li Cesta. And have you ever heard of Hi-Li?
I have not.
It's a sport they play. This started over in the Basque Country in Spain. And they play it down in Miami and Fort Lauderdale. And they play it a little bit up in Hartford, I think. But it's actually literally like a wicker basket you put on your hand, but it's got a big scoop.
Okay.
And it's like racquetball, but you throw a ball against the wall and it bounces, and then the guy has to catch it and then throw it back with the same. It's called a cesta or a basket. And I got one of those and I started throwing golf balls out of that. And I was like, whoa, you know, I could all of a sudden get some real spin, real distance, but also shape the shots different ways. And I was like, okay, there's some cool old technology in this thing. I mean, literally, it's made out of wicker, and it's been around for hundreds of years. So I started noodling around with that, watching some video of Hi-Li, and these guys, they call it the fastest ball sport there is. Like, these guys can throw it 200 miles an hour.
Whoa.
And, yeah, I mean, like, as fast as you can hit a golf ball. So it's pretty incredible. So there's a lot of torque and technology in that. And I just started messing around with that and making prototypes with the product developer. See if we can, and ended up basically a mini Hi-Li basket on the end of a golf shaft. So
I want to stop you right there because you're starting to work with other people now. You're starting to, you know, build out prototypes. Like at this point, was it just like, I'm too far in, I have to keep going? Or was the legitimacy starting to kind of bubble in your brain a little bit to be like, you know, this... I could get out on a golf course. I could do, like, it's fun, like, when you're tinkering around in your garage, as you kind of said before, but now you're working with prototypes, and now you're bringing in, you know, third parties to consult on this. Like, where was your headspace? Where was your mind at this point?
You know, I think from the very beginning of, you know, working on it, I always thought there was something there, like, definitely some kind of sport, something you could, you know, especially once I got the Hi-Li thing going. It was really fun. It gives you, like, a... It's like a holy shit feeling when you throw the ball. It like fires out of there and you wouldn't expect it. And so, you know, that's what we hear when people try it for the first time. They're like, holy shit, that thing flies. And so I sort of felt I believed in it. I believed in the sport. And I was like, if I, you know, could get that 200 yards, I could get really good feel, real good touch, be able to shape it different ways, that I thought there was something there. And so, yeah, so I it was a big leap to start paying people to do this thing. but you know, a little bit at a time making progress, and you know, it's just the prototyping continued for another year. And then, you know, I was like, okay, well, this is going to be a real business. I got to start looking at IP for it. I got to do all this stuff. And yeah, it starts adding up, all that behind the scenes stuff. You know, you're really like, am I really doing this? Am I really going forward with this? And, you know, you get a few people to play, a few friends to play and get the reaction. And you know, just start really believing in it and going with it.
It's a small step by small step, especially a sport like yours. Again, fling golf. So let's, you know, so we understand how you develop this prototype. We understand how you develop the kind of the tool you use, if I may, and like understand that a little bit. So is it, as the name suggests, it's just golf, like disc golf would be, or normal golf would be, just instead of throwing a disc or hitting a ball, you're kind of just throwing it with this new tool you made?
Yeah, so it would definitely be closer to traditional golf. In that it's sort of, the best way to think of it is sort of snowboarding and skiing. It's a new sport that you play on an old field or an old course. And you can play right alongside traditional golf. So yeah, the basis of it is that instead of hitting a golf ball, you play with a golf ball and fling golf, but you're throwing the golf ball with this, what's called a fling stick. And again, you're able to shape every shot. You play with one stick. You don't have 14 clubs. You can do a flop shot. You can do bump and run. You can do behind the back shot. You can do whatever you want. And so that's really, you know, that's really the basis of the game. And then you just sort of get more and more people playing it over the years, and it's becoming a sport.
So the first time you go to a golf course, do you tell them you're not going to actually be playing golf, or like, were you like, hey, like you know the people? What is that?
Yeah.
Like the first time that you're out there, even with, you know, prior to building out, again, that 1 year process and actually building out that initial, you know, fling stick. What do you call it? Fling stick.
Yeah.
What's that first time like? Like going out there being like, am I going to do this? Like, what are other people going to make fun of me? Like, what's going on?
Yeah, a little bit. You're like, okay, they're going to think I'm crazy, but I've sort of gotten over that by now.
What's he doing?
But, the first times you go out there and, yeah, you're a little tentative. But I've, fortunate to live very near a golf course, and it's actually closed down now, but it was a very sort of, you know, cheap par three.
Nice.
The owner was a fantastic guy who just sit there and smoke cigars, sitting in there watching TV in the clubhouse. And
that's,
you know,
my favorite,
like, sure,
kind of golf course.
Give me 10 bucks and you can go out, play nine holes. So it was perfect for what I was doing, right? I could go out there and prototype and test things out and keep on trying, you know, to build it out more. So that was a great sort of proving ground for me.
That's awesome.
But as far as asking golf courses now, it's really, and that's the number one question we get is, well, either golf courses won't let you do this, or will golf courses allow you to do this? And the answer is yes, they will. I'd say we have about a 98% success rate on players going out, talking to their local golf course, just going and playing. Maybe they don't even say they're playing. They're just going, you know, they'll pay and go play. But there's no reason a golf course shouldn't let you play. It's, you're actually doing less damage to the course. It's pace is excellent.
No divots.
I was going to say
you probably move much faster. You're not shanking every shot. You're shanking just a couple of the shots, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the beauty of the game is that, you know, it's just fun. But the other thing about it is that you can start really quickly. You know, the short game takes some while, you know, while to get used to and practicing on that. But I can get most people off the first tee comfortably in less than a half an hour, where with golf, it's, wow, you know, it can be months before they feel comfortable going out there. So that's sort of
years before people feel good.
Yeah, years, right? Some people just never get it. But you can get out there really quickly. So it makes it a lot more fun. It's great to bring, you know, even golfers will bring their kids playing fling golf. It's just less stressful in the whole family to get out there and, you know, kids are having a ball doing it. So
I love that. I think that's so important. And I think it's such a cool concept, and it's such an easy one, right? Like who among us has not ever picked up their ball and just kind of in a little anger, just throw the ball, right? Like we've all, literally everyone's done that. And if you haven't, I don't believe you. I think it's that easy, right? So like, why not just create something that'll allow you to throw it with a little bit more accuracy, with a little more distance, as you said, and allow you to just play golf like that? Because golf is such an insanely hard sport. Like it is easily one of the hardest sports. There's a reason why everyone on earth wants, or so many people on earth want to play it, and everyone breaks sticks and everyone's always angry, right? Like there's something about that. And if you can just simplify that, I hate golf. I love golf courses. I love golf carts. I love walking on golf courses. I love the atmosphere. I love everything about golf except the actual sport. So if now there's a way that I could probably enjoy it a little bit more, like so you'll get so many more people out there and enjoying the sport. I think it just makes total sense.
So you're our perfect customer, Michael.
Thank you. You want to be out there?
You want to be out there, and you want just a better way to be out there, and that's who we're selling to, exactly.
I don't feel like every third shot having to go find a ball. Like, it's not, that's not fun to me. And I don't want to have the time or whatever, I'm not trying to learn, you know, that I'm not trying to spend that much money and soak that much time into something that, like, I'll get minusculely better at. Like, give me a fling stick. I'll go out there with the boys next time. I'm sure I could drink a couple beers and still drive the cart and still have a good time. That's all I'm looking to do. Just have a good time.
Yeah.
I think it's pretty easy.
Yeah. That's exactly right. And so we get a lot of players that are just like that. They, you know, either they want to go out with their friends who are playing golf, and, you know, we get a lot of bachelor parties, you know.
Yes.
There's bachelor parties are perfect. They get 12 guys out there, and four of them can play golf well, and eight can't. And, you know, it's
like
disaster.
You were at the last bachelor party I was at or something. It's crazy.
Is that right?
How did you know this so specifically?
Yeah, yeah. So imagine those eight guys with a fling stick, right? And those guys are having fun, actually more fun than the golfers. And for the golf course's point of view, they love it because it keeps things moving along. They're, you know, they're no divots. They're not all over the place. They're pretty much right down the middle. Keeps everybody happy. And so golf courses are, you know, been very accepting from that point of view.
I love it. So I'm curious, like, that's the sport. It's pretty, you know, once you kind of explain it, we got through that in about 10 minutes. It's pretty understandable why you built it, how you built it, what you're doing, how you get the courses. I'm curious about the players aspect, though, right? And I'm curious about the business aspect. So we'll kind of dive into a little bit of those right now. Like, how, like, outside of those first few times, you're like, hey, do you guys mind, like, just checking this out with me? Like, some of your close friends, like, yeah, could you, you know, just give me some feedback, see what that's like. Like, that's an easy close circle, and everyone, of course, should say yes. They're a good friend of yours, their family, their loved ones, whatever. How do you then get to that next? How do you then get to that next node and that next node of people where they're telling their friends and they're telling their friends? Because that's when the spider web happens. That's when you really start to get a very big amount of people to play.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. And it takes it snowballs, and it takes some time to get that snowball going, most definitely. You know, when we started out, we focused a lot on the golf courses. And so this is 16, 17. We started out a little bit before that, but in those years. And golf then was really struggling. Sort of pre-COVID, golf was really struggling. It was, you know, talking about the death of golf, and courses were empty and closing. I think 200, 250 courses a year were closing in America. So they were all ears. You know, they were like, yeah, if this can get more kids out, especially, you know, more young players out, they were all ears. And so we focused on that a lot. We also knew they were really the gatekeeper, right? We had to make them happy. If it started off badly, it was going to be hard to recover. And so we spent a lot of time. We partnered with the National Golf Course Owners Association. They were super supportive of us. Work with the National Golf Foundation, even the PGA, because the PGA pros, you know, the golf courses, they need to make their living as well. Mm-hmm. And they make it, you know, off the rounds or balls sold or whatever. So we had a pretty good audience from the sort of golf industry, not the equipment industry, but the golf course industry side of things, and really spent a lot of time, money, traveling, going to trade shows, going to conferences, to educate them and get them up to speed on sort of where we were going with this. And that, a lot of them bought sticks. And so our sort of initial player growth was, you know, people at golf courses, people that were coming, you know, a guy and bringing his kid to play, bringing his wife to play, or wife bringing her husband to play, or whatever, you know, grandparents bringing their grandkids out to play. So that was our sort of first shot at the player, so to speak. Obviously, and we're an e-commerce company, we're still almost entirely e-commerce and sort of working to remain that way for a while anyway. So we've done a lot of advertising, you know, Facebook advertising and social media, growth like that. But, you know, jumping forward a few years, go ahead.
I was going to say influencer marketing. I'm curious, like, and that might be in this few years, so you can answer it through that if you'd like.
Yeah, you know, that's a good, we haven't done a ton of that, but actually I was listening to your most recent podcast with the Maddox, mm-hmm, from Villanova. So I was interested in that because that should certainly be in our portfolio there. But we did, you know, we got to a certain point. We were doing YouTube stuff, and we got to a certain point where, the first big break was Shark Tank gave us a call.
Nice.
And the casting director's boyfriend had seen it being played on a course in California.
Where are
you
from?
Took a video of it.
Hmm? Where are you from?
I'm from Philly originally, but now north of Boston.
Okay, so the what I wanted to do there was understand, so you're over here on this side of the country, and the game made it all the way out to California in just a few short years, where someone somewhere was able to see it and then allow you to then come on a Shark Tank. Like, that's some fork in the road shit that I like to point out.
Exactly. Important. And I'll tell you the reason that was able to grow nationally was we really did focus on the lacrosse world for a little bit, you know, for a year or two. It was a growing sport. It was a young sport. I mean, it's an old sport, but a lot of young people playing it. So we focused on that, and I think that's sort of what help spread it nationally, because there's, you know, across, it used to be an East Coast sport. Now it's like mm-hmm. big in Colorado, Texas, California, Florida. So a lot of places we want to be. And I sort of had a background in lacrosse too, and some connections there. So that helped grow the player base out there. I think that's what led to the, you know, to the casting director's boyfriend seeing it in California. So he shot her a video. She did some research on us and then called up, or she shot an email out to us, and it was almost like, oh, this is a fake email. Like, almost yeah. didn't even answer it.
Yeah, that's a scam. Right. Yeah, grandma, no, that's a scam. Just delete that one. You don't have to
worry. Right, get 100 emails a day. Like, Shark Tank wants you to, like, yeah, right, yeah. okay, whatever. But opened it, and that was great. That was, you know, sort of first big national TV opportunity. And that was an experience. I mean, that was a really cool experience, really hard work to get on. They didn't just call and say, do you want to be on? They said, do you want to mm-hmm. apply? And yeah. so we had to go through that whole application process. And that was, man, oh God, what, 4 months, 5 months of just back and forth with them, going through that process, really, really detailed stuff that they want to know, and they want you to get it right and all that. So
I'm sure that process and everything helped you solidify a lot of, and unless you were just super solid in the financials prior, but I'm sure that process allowed you to kind of see through a different lens of, okay, if we are going to get investors, these are the things that they're looking at. These are the things that yeah. they need. This is what they want to see. I'm sure that really helped in that part of the game though.
Yeah, it does, because they really require you to do that. They don't want anybody coming on who's, you know, things are blowing up, or, you know, it's just, it's yeah. not, you don't own it or something like that. They make sure they're doing their due diligence, most definitely. So yeah, that helped that whole process, but, you really are taking on another full-time job applying for Shark Tank. And so it's a long process. And for us, it was very worthwhile.
Oh, I can only imagine. Did you get an investor?
So here's the funny little secret about Shark Tank. It's not so much of a secret, but you don't, just because you shake hands on the show, it's really the beginning of due diligence for mm-hmm. them and for us. You know, you don't know who, you yeah. don't necessarily know who all the sharks are going to be when you come out. They don't know anything about you. They really don't. They're totally going from zero. So, you know, you're on there for, we were on for close to an hour. And then they boil it down to 8 minutes or so. And we got an investment on the show, you know, shook hands with a guy named Daniel Lubetsky, who was a guest shark. And he was the founder of Kind Bars, mm-hmm. you know, the candy bars.
Yep. Yeah. Right here in New Jersey. He was the commencement speaker at my brother's graduation, I want to say.
Oh, was he?
If I'm not mistaken. Yeah.
He very well could have been. He's a fantastic guy. Yeah. And we're still very close. We went through a little due diligence and both decided, you know, it just wasn't the right partnership. But I still keep in touch with him and we still communicate.
That's awesome.
He's very helpful. Yeah. But it wasn't, you know, wasn't going to be the best deal for us. It wasn't going to be a deal that we would give anybody else, so to speak. But we, you know, we wanted him as a partner. But ultimately we just got to the point where it's like, nah, it's not the best partnership. But what you get is the awareness.
I was going to say, you know, totally worth it.
Totally worth it from that point of view. And that's exactly what we needed at that point was we had sort of built a really good foundation with the golf courses, the golf course industry. So they knew about us. They generally knew, you know, for most of them, know what's going on. And that just blew up our player base. We just really went through the roof on new players. And they were able to go out and play, and it sort of snowballed from there.
That's awesome. And another thing of awareness, I know you guys were on ESPN 8, The Ocho, if I'm not mistaken,
yeah.
as well.
Yeah.
Curious about that, right? ESPN 8, if for anyone that's paying attention and, you know, in the middle of August, if you're not just kind of sitting on your TV on a random like Tuesday or Wednesday, ESPN 2 yeah. turns into ESPN 8, The Ocho, kind of the joke from Dodgeball, where they yeah. then take just like, and I apologize, that's kind of the weird, tricky part about this, right? Like, they take, like, almost, like, fake sports, and, like, they yeah. just throw them on, and it's, like, some guy's doing, like, magic, and there's cup stacking, and there's, I think everyone knows Slippery Stairs, if I'm not mistaken, that one that's always hilarious. But then there's some legitimate sports, like yours, that get yeah. on there, and it's kind of, like, I'm curious from your standpoint, like, getting, do you, like, is the juice worth the squeeze, right? Do you want to be on ESPN 8 because you're on ESPN? Like, that's incredible.
Yeah.
But you're also kind of lumped in again with all those sports that, you know, as I said,
corgi racing.
You watch it once a year and you kind of don't really believe it's a sport. Like, what was it like weighing those options? And then, you know, ultimately, what did you guys decide in the end?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. Because we did. It was a, do we want to go down this route or not? And it didn't take us long, honestly. We were, there are legitimate sports on there. It is mixed in with like corgi racing and some weirder stuff like that, like cherry pit spitting contests and stuff like that, which is fun, whatever.
Exactly.
But, we're all about fun. We are a combo of we're taking ourselves very seriously. We believe very much in the sport and where it's going and like Olympics, like legitimate, that's where we want to go. And there's no reason why we shouldn't ultimately.
Breakdancing in the Olympics. You guys should have a shot. No offense to any breakdancers out there.
But we're also appealing to people who want to have fun. So those people are going to be watching the Ocho too. And we're tongue in cheek. We don't take ourselves too seriously, we try to keep it fun. And last thing we want to be is, have that sort of stigma that golf has of just being like, so serious about yourself and you have to
bunch of rich these, white dudes can't have fun, go to the golf field, country club for lunch, spend $80 on a tuna sandwich, no, I'm good.
Right. Yeah, so and there are enough sports on there that are legitimate and pretty cool sports actually. There's everything, cornhole, a lot of backyard games, but spike ball's done a lot. And again, for us, it's awareness, and we just want people to see what we're doing. And if they start off thinking maybe, oh, that's silly, they'll learn pretty quickly. It's not silly. It's just fun. And it's legitimate. So,
and I'm curious, so we understand now you're gaining awareness, right? You're doing, as you said, you're an e-commerce, thinking of yourselves as an e-commerce platform because the courses are there. You don't need to get people to know where a course is. It's you just need them to buy the Fling Stick so that they can go play. And I'm sure you have instructional videos. You have all that kind of stuff. Maybe influencer marketing down the road, Shark Tank, ESPN. You've guys done some incredible stuff over just, a short 10-year period. I'm kind of curious about, and I know we only have a couple minutes here. We might go over the allotted time, but I apologize on that one because I'm really interested in what's it like running a startup sports league? Because as you said, this is – you're thinking Olympics. You're thinking the highest of the high of, potential athletic ability.
Yeah.
I assume that means majors. I assume that means you have events, or if you don't have events, you're going to have events. What are the things that go into starting, founding, and expanding upon a legitimately new sport that you're now trying to, again, be the commissioner of?
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's a lot. There's no question. It's a lot.
It should be. Look at what Roger Goodell does. Dude deserves the $40 million he makes a year, right?
Yeah, right, right. But it's
I'm kidding, but whatever.
It's a lot. I mean, you're always pushing things along. The way I work is I take a visionary leap forward and then I backfill to get to where the vision is. And you sort of have to do that because otherwise, you're just sort of floundering around. So we started this league really last year, and we were considering it before COVID. COVID shut us down, just screwed it. And then it was actually okay because our player base really grew over COVID. And then when we were finally able to get everybody back together, we had our first event, which is the one we filmed for ESPN. And then we had another one last year. And that really kicked us off into they went so well attended, such a great people and great community, and such great awareness and attention for us that we have a 5-stop tour this year.
Hell yeah.
We're doing San Diego, Delaware, Virginia, New England, and West Virginia.
West Virginia. I was going to say they golf a lot in Arizona, but West Virginia, I'm sure there's some nice courses there too. That works.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. So it's cool. So we've got, our ranked players and, that's really growing a lot of interest in the game as well. So we're sort of doing this. One of the things we're struggling with a little bit is we got the pro players and really good players, but we're also trying to encourage, make sure people that want to play in these tournaments aren't intimidated by the fact that there's really good players, because there's room for these tournaments for local people playing. We're going to have 20 people flying into San Diego, but there are going to be a bunch of people in San Diego that maybe played for a little bit. They're going to get to play with the pros, see how that, you know, learn some techniques and all that. So it's we're trying to, you know, cover that whole spectrum right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, pro-am. Golf does that very well, right? You get Tony Romo and Chris Berman playing alongside Hideki Matsuyama. Like, it's pretty cool to see kind of that. And it also puts everything in perspective for, you know, you or me sitting on the couch and watching, I guess, from a, like, from that perspective then. So you're building out tournaments. Like, where, how do you guys make money? Is it simply just by selling these sticks? Is now that the tournaments are involved, how are you, is there prize money involved for these pro players? Is this their full-time job yet? Is that their goal? Like, what, I'm kind of curious on that aspect of it too.
No, it's not their full-time job yet, although some are definitely going that way.
Love it.
And the key for us is we're selling money on the, or making money selling the sticks, but sponsorships. And and that's the sort of driving force right now, is for the both the players and the league, you know, get that attention out there and get sponsors.
So I have to assume they're mostly non-endemic, right? Because the endemic sponsor would be the person that makes the sticks, and that's you guys. So it's kind of hard
to sponsor.
So, like, what type of sponsors are you guys looking at to, like, are you going after the Callaways of the world, or are there other things that you guys are looking at to?
Yeah,
to
not so much the Callaways. More, you know, we're more interested in, I mean, look, if Callaway wants to give us a call, we'll ask my friends.
Yeah, if I can connect you to anyone, Alex, I'll answer.
We'll definitely answer the phone. But there are so many up and coming, you know, golf ball brands. Like, we're working this one called Odin Golf, which is this really cool, hip, you know, bunch of young guys driving it, and they're all right in the same vibe as us. Fun, you know, go out there, have a good time. Don't take it too seriously. And they have some really good golf balls. And so, you know, working with them, working with, like, Chris Gronkowski from Ice Shaker, Rob Gronkowski's brother, and they were on Shark Tank as well. And he's got this really awesome sort of thermos bottle. You know, put water in there, you put protein powder in there, you mix it up. And so a lot of gym guys, you know, are using it. And he helped sponsor our first tournament. And then just, you know, a bunch of others. Sunbum was part of our first tournament. And some apparel companies, sunglass companies. But yeah, we'll be, you know, working into the sort of Red Bulls of the world and you know, that eventually. But we're getting there.
Yeah, take your time, man. One step at a time. I think it's important. Again, over 10 years, what you've already been able to accomplish, and so much more to come. I'm really excited to kind of see how that's happened. And I think it's such a cool story, the way you've been able to build this, cause kind of out of your garage. Like, you're the next Apple, right? Like, you started something in your garage.
Yeah, well, maybe.
And you're going to be a multi-trillion-dollar company, Alex. I'm crossing my fingers for you.
No doubt.
in 10 years, we got this far. I guess now that, as you said, that you're a visionary, you like to look forward and kind of backfill, reverse engineer what you looked at. I guess what's that next vision that you have, and what are some of the ways you're going to try and accomplish those steps along the way?
Yeah, you know, I think in a way, we really have two businesses, right? We've got the sports equipment business, which is really a new swarm brand, and so we're going to grow that brand, and also the league. And I think a lot of what we're going to do moving forward next five years is the league. I mean, that's really going to be our focus, because the more we can grow the sport, more we can grow awareness, that sort of drives the stick sales as well. So we really decided, you know, 2 or 3 years ago, that's where we need to focus, that's where we need to put the effort. And, you know, being on ESPN was fantastic. That's helped us. And we're going to be on again.
Nice.
The Ocho again. And, you know, I think it'll grow from there. I mean, I think we'll someday we'll graduate from the Ocho.
And just be on ESPN too.
And just be, exactly. And that happens. So that's what we're aiming for.
I love it, man. Well, kudos and congratulations. All right. So I have one last question.
Sure.
There's this little golf tournament. It's coming up in April. Somewhere down in Georgia. The Masters.
One. Yeah.
Have we talked to the people at Augusta yet? Are you able to play fling golf on Augusta National?
So I will tell you, they haven't said no, but we haven't asked them either.
Okay, that's fine. So, hey, yeah, I'm more of a forgiveness than permission kind of guy anyway. So I think that's great.
No, you know, it'll be interesting with the Masters. I don't know, but I will say I'm playing on Torrey Pines. I played Torrey Pines before.
Oh, hell yeah. That was going to be one of my other. I was going to say Torrey Pines, Baltusrol, Winged Foot. I've been to a bunch of these places, so just kind of curious. Some of the major ones that you've hit, like, have you hit any of them yet, or is this kind of now the
goal? Oh yeah, no, it's Torrey Pines, Pebble Beach has been played, a bunch of the TPC Sawgrass that's been played.
Scottsdale from the 16th at Scottsdale.
Scottsdale too.
That would be
a dream.
Hit that hole in one. People go bananas for that.
Either the 16th at Scottsdale for the Waste Management Open there, or the 17th at Sawgrass on
There you go.
The island.
St. Andrews. Golf was created at St. Andrews. You have to. It has been right.
It has been played at St. Andrews.
No shit.
The new course.
That's awesome.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
Guy took a stick over there, and he was playing golf, and just had a stick in his bag, and played a few holes. Played Carnoustie also. So.
That's
why not?
Look at this, man. See, look at that. You're already accomplishing a lot of these goals. I think it's incredible. Yeah. Obviously, that was kind of a joke with the Masters, but like the idea of these major idea tournaments, right? The U.S. Open, British Open, Masters. Like this is that's what casual fans like myself. Like I will sit down and watch all 4 days of the Masters. You might not, I might not watch the Sony Open. That might be my second TV, and it's on at night, so I'll kind of just have it down there. But like I'm sitting down and watching the Masters. So it's those tentpole events that hopefully you guys will be able to get up to, and hopefully you can cut that deal, and screw it, we'll have the Fling Golf Masters down in Augusta in let's call it May. I don't know, it sounds great, but Alex, this has been awesome. Where can we find more information? Where can we find content? Where can we watch people playing? I assume you guys have a YouTube page. Are some of the events that you guys are doing this year, are you going to have them maybe not like all 18 holes broadcasted, but like, are you going to have some sort of broadcast around them that people can kind of either tune in and watch, or there'll be like recap clips afterwards?
Yeah, definitely recap clips and possibly live streaming some of them as well.
Love it.
Awesome. But yeah, you find out everything on flinggolf.com. All our social media is at flinggolf. So you get that info there.
Perfect. I'll put all that in the show notes for everybody. Alex, this has been incredible. I sincerely appreciate your time. Sounds like you got a dog barking, so maybe you got to go let somebody out. But no, in sincerity, time's the only thing we don't get more of. So thank you so much for giving me some of yours. I appreciate the audience for giving us some of theirs. But other than that, hope you have a great day, man. Thanks so much. Bye, everybody.
All right. Appreciate it, Michael. Thank you.